Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our meditation tonight are found in Luke chapter 22, verses 47 and 48. While Jesus was still speaking, there came a crowd. And the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" So far, the sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would set us apart from this dying world for yourself, that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, did you know that a virus is not really a living thing in the way we're accustomed to thinking of living things? They're actually just little bits of genetic information wrapped in a shell with some molecular machinery designed to insert that genetic material into a living cell and co-opt that cell and turn it into a little virus factory, which then proceeds to produce more of the virus. It's sort of like the Trojan horse, in a way. Long ago, during the Trojan War between the Greeks and the city-state of Troy, legend has it that the Greeks finally won by presenting the city with a trophy, a massive wooden horse. The Trojans pulled it into their city and closed the gates behind, thinking that this was a gift to them to say that the war was over. That night, the Greek soldiers, of course, emerged from within this massive structure and opened the gates and allowed the returning Greek army to come back in and conquer the city. In both cases, the virus, the Trojan horse, there's an element of deception there and an element of betrayal. Tonight, we see both of those elements in our text. Jesus had chosen 12 men to learn from him, to walk the rocky paths of Israel with him, to witness his miracles, to pray with him, and even to do some mission work with him. But Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, betrayed our Lord. The scriptures tell us that Satan had entered into his heart and gained control and turned him against Jesus. There are many similarities to the way a virus works on a cell, but that's an impersonal thing. It's just a bunch of predictable chemical reactions. The way that Satan worked on Judas and the betrayal that Judas brought to Jesus, those were personal attacks made with malice. This battle is personal. As we examine this case, it becomes very clear how important it is that Jesus is our warrior, our champion who fought for us. And to this very day, helps us in our own battles with the deceptions of the devil, who wants to use our own sinful flesh against Jesus, against our faith in Jesus. And this spiritual battle is directed at us, just like it was against Judas. Now, right after Jesus and his disciples had their last meal together, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus went there to pray. And when he had finished, he returned to his disciples who had all fallen asleep. And Jesus woke them. And it says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas then went up to Jesus and singled him out with that greeting kiss. Now, I'm sure to some it looked as if Judas was just greeting his great friend, Jesus, but the soldiers and Judas and Jesus knew exactly what was going on there. Jesus even gave Judas two more opportunities to repent. He called him by name, Judas, much as God had called Adam by name in the garden after he had sinned. But finally he said, do what you came for, friend. What had turned Judas from a friend into a betrayer? What spiritual virus, if you will, had entered into his heart to make him a traitor within the ranks of the 12? Judas had been the treasurer for the disciples and had been helping himself to some of the money, the scriptures say. Satan had wormed his way into Judas' spirit with the temptation to go to the chief priests to get paid for betraying Jesus, 30 silver coins. Just a few hours earlier, Jesus had mentioned that one of his disciples would betray him and had said it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Psalm 41, verse 9. But Judas didn't listen. During the Last Supper, we learn these terrible words yet again. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. Now it's obvious that Judas experienced a terrible struggle. But Judas had swallowed Satan's deception and let it drive him to betray the Son of Man, who loved him. And perhaps more alarming for us is how the disciples at the Last Supper reacted when Jesus told them that one of them would betray him. His disciples stared at one another, it says, at a loss to know which of them he meant. You'd think that they would know, but one after the other, they ask him, is it I, Lord? The battle against Satan was a personal one for Judas and for all the disciples and for us too. We know the struggle within ourselves. Jesus warned them all. He'd even given a special warning to Peter. But on that same night, after the disciples received the Lord's Supper from our Savior, they all deserted him there in the garden. Peter swung his sword and fled. Later, he followed the soldiers into the courtyard of the high priest, but there his strength failed him to the point of him denying Jesus, even swearing it. He too was a betrayer. This virus of fear was Satan's way to twist Peter's heart. Now, perhaps we're not under direct attack by the evil one, but we should all ask ourselves, what kind of virus would capture my heart? Infectious lies are all around us, deceptions everywhere, already within us. We're just like Peter, though not as strong. not taught by Jesus himself, how easily we deny the Lord. How easily we betray what he stood for. How easily we fall into wanting to be served rather than wanting to serve. There's a spiritual war going on inside of our hearts. Every one of us. None of us will have it figured out this side of the grave. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's guilt from the past, the sins of our youth. There's guilt from the present when we think of the good that we should be doing and aren't doing, or that habitual sin that we keep on doing even though we hate it. A lot of people right now are whiling away the time in worry and despair, or blustering about with bravado and thinking and speaking falsely against those who aren't acting like they are. Many are spending more time with the internet right now and are falling into the temptations that it serves up with just a mouse click. Many are growing spiritually lazy and personal Bible studies just slipping away, and prayer is forgotten even when there's nothing better to do. But here's the good news. Our hero loves us every day of our lives. We have a warrior, a champion. The Old Testament calls him the kinsman redeemer. He's one of us, who's here to buy us back from our sins, to fight these battles for us. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord, Paul wrote. There's a stronger hand at work in us than Satan and his lies, even than our sinful nature and the world around us. The hand of the Creator himself, creating in us clean hearts, new hearts. Hearts that would turn us away from the spiritual disease of sin. Jesus defends us. The one we betray will not give up on us. He humbled himself to the point of the cross for us. He heaped with all our sins and beaten and killed as payment for our transgressions. He did that for you and me. And why? Why would he do that? It's because he loves you and me and the whole world. He does not want us to die, but to repent. Repent means to turn around, to go the other direction once we recognize our sin. And yes, there's often an element of sadness, but it's really about living so that when we recognize sin and receive strength from the Lord, we turn the other direction and go the other way, the better way. Jesus did this for you and me so that we would repent and live. That's why God gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Every charge against us, every last one, God acquits you. He forgives you. He sees in you and me only the holy, perfect life of Jesus. Only the blood covering the doorposts and lintels of our hearts. He's chosen to do this for you. Believe him. Trust him. Jesus has to be the point man in our spiritual battles. He has to be our champion. He has to supply us with his strength and with his weapons that can make a difference in this otherwise unseen spiritual war. The first is his precious word, which he calls a two-edged sword. It cuts away at our own self-deceptions, and at the same time, it cuts away our guilt and the deceptions of the devil and the world. It's both armor and offensive weaponry at the same time. secondly, he prepares us for that special meal, the Lord's Supper. And he provides each of us personally with his true body and blood. It's as close as we can possibly get to him this side of heaven. You are one of his disciples, reclining at table with him in the Lord's Supper. And this meal brings us to Jesus for the personal forgiveness of our sins, for life, for salvation, the salvation that he battled and won for you and me. Again, this battle is personal, but so is the supper. And third, the Holy Spirit brings God's word into your hearts to strengthen you. Together with the believers around you, we are all the body of Christ to encourage each other, to stay close to the Lord so that our faith grows stronger with the nourishment of his rich grace in word and sacrament. Right now, it's very easy for us to slip away from this. Encourage one another. Use your telephones. Use your email. Encourage one another. Tell them the love of Christ so that we do not forget during this time of isolation. Fellow redeemed in Christ, you are fully loved and fully equipped soldiers, following Christ, our Savior and our hero. Put on the full armor of God, as the scriptures say, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand with Christ, our Lord and Savior, our great warrior. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.